This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Chester Fuller, my man, made it in despite the black ice in the driveway. You heard me, pre-sip in the Queen City.
Telling you.
But we're making it, man. We're getting through another day. That's what we're doing.
The hardest part of the trip is the last 8 feet. I mean, all of a sudden you become Christy Yamaguchi in Olympic Paris. I mean, you're just skating everywhere
Winter
in the
Olympics
last 8 feet.
Coming up.
Well, I could qualify based on the sow cow I about pulled in the driveway this morning.
I mean, you got that.
How's your liabilities?
You got. I told you I got insurance.
Okay.
I mean, ESPN doesn't reimburse me for it, but nevertheless, we're still good. So if you you pull a Syracuse move on me, I got you covered.
Man's got an ankle injury going on, trying to rehab that, and I have to come in here and do a 1.5 to get in the door.
I gave you the 5:30 a.m. text,
yes.
And listen, just give you a little heads up. The ice is still a bit, it's in play over there in the corner.
Yeah.
Right there.
In play? Is that what you're saying?
Non-next, right there,
what almost happened.
Can't go wrong.
So we greeted you last Monday with my partner here basically saying, well, you know, the football, I was kind of hoping that the pro football would be okay, and it was lousy.
It was lousy.
Well, how you feel about this weekend?
It was as good as I've ever seen it, but I was accurate. Last weekend's Super 6 wild cards were snoozers. That yesterday was professional football at its finest. That was great entertainment, Saturday and Sunday.
Unbelievable, right?
I mean, truly remarkable.
Yeah.
Incredible. Best players in the world playing at a ridiculous level. So I'll say it all the time. Just entertain me. It's like this show. For 3 hours, we attempt to inform and entertain. And we were roughly about 2%. So this might be a highlight. I mean, I'll look at it. Maybe.
I will say this. One thing happened last night. I'm going to tell you a story that led to a little post on social media. Greg Campbell is a friend of mine. He works in stats and research. He typically works with Tom Hart on the Southeastern Conference Network during football season.
They've got stats people?
They do. They got
stats. Do we have stats people?
Yeah, we got stats. Richard Simmons is my guy on Saturdays.
There we go.
And Greg Campbell works for Tom.
So we're on equal footing there, aren't we?
We're equal there. Greg used to Greg used to work Sundays with me before COVID in the National Football League. And great guy, full of information. He hit me with a text last night, soon as regulation ended in the Chiefs and Bills. And the text said, I'm going to read it to you, because I turned it into the tweet. He said, something college football can learn, 72 points, game for the ages, and it finished regulation in 3 hours and 6 minutes. So last night I tweeted that, because it's good enough that that needs to be heard. Hey, College Football Rules Committee, the NFL just scored 72 combined points, had playoff game for the ages, and it finished regulation in 3:06.
Amen. Spot on.
Okay. Now, for those of you that, you know, are on the Twitter platform occasionally, you know that Twitter can go off the rails pretty quick. Yeah, it happens.
It does.
Yeah. And so 3/4 of America chose to gripe about overtime when I posted that, which it has nothing to do with overtime. The rules of pro football in overtime, I don't like them, never have. I don't think it's fair equity that each team doesn't get the ball if the first team scores. Now, I know your job is to stop them if you lose the coin toss, but in a high-stakes game like that, it seems to be a little foggy in my opinion. But the fact they played that game in 3 hours and 6 minutes last night, college football, and everybody is quick to chime in on Twitter about commercial links. I'll tell you where we get caught up in it. Pac knows this. Reviews.
Under the hood.
Under the hood. Targeting reviews. And I know a lot of college football officials, like officiating people, tend to drive by this show occasionally. Gentlemen, we can streamline this. They played that thing in 3 hours and 6 minutes. And then there's the other little secret that nobody in college football wants to talk about, and that's halftime length. And the minute I mention halftime length, I hear from my friends in the music departments at all these campuses, and I understand that too. But they played that game in 3:06 last night, and everybody says, well, nobody playing defense. Well, that doesn't matter. The temperament of the game and the clock of the game determines how long it is, not the style of play. But I think college football could have learned something from that thing last night.
You're preaching the choir, my man. I'm with you 1,000,000,000% on that. 1,000,000,000%. And that game, all 4 NFL games, were just great.
I mean, Tampa and Los Angeles wasn't that long either.
And then it's a 30-27 game.
Right.
Like I said, I am a Saturday guy, not necessarily a Sunday guy. I mean, Sunday is new, is kind of noise to me during the season.
Yeah.
But I love the playoffs. But man, when the best players in the world play at a ridiculous level, it is must-watch television.
Yeah.
And all four games were spectacular, and they were all different. I mean, all different. Mm-hmm. Weather was different. Games are different. Styles are different. But just it was just awesome television. Yeah. It really was.
And so, you know, sets the stage for an exciting weekend next week. So good for them. And by the way, a lot of people will have watched. That's the other thing. They get a huge number this time of year.
It should.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care what the sport. If it's the best in the world at what they do.
Right.
I mean, I'm in. I'm watching. I mean, it's like I kid around with the Winter Olympics. Yeah, there are going to be some sports you've never seen in your life, but you know what? They're the best in the world, and it's competitive. I mean, you'll watch. You'll see what's going on.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
I like to watch that curling. All right, here we go.
You're doing pretty good with that boot now. You may have an advantage. Went curling.
In the boot?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You can smooth it right on in there, brother. It'd be like a little 7-iron, hitting that little cut shot.
Have you ever seen the curling live?
No.
That's actually pretty cool.
I told you about the luge going up there.
We need
Canada.
To hold that for next week. We got to hold that for next week. When the Olympics start, we need to tell the luge story.
There's two groups of people that I will tip my hat to. All right. Well, number one, anybody that runs a marathon, I will tip my hat to you. I have nothing but respect for people that run marathons. I don't know how you do it. It's awesome. I live vicariously through you. And number two, anybody doing that luge or bobsled? Man,
totally got my respect.
You have lost your mind, but I will tip my hat to you that you decide, hey, I want to do that for a living.
We'll tell that story week after when they start the Olympics. We will tell the luge story.
Oh my God! All right.
Hoops. I would say this: of the ball games played last weekend, we had an expectation of Florida State Miami.
It was good, man.
It was good.
It was different, but it was really good.
Right. Duke might have been the most impressive team last weekend. I mean, you beat somebody that bad on your home floor, and that looked like a little bit of old-school Duke. No offense to the 21-22 Blue Devils, but I got a little bit of 90s and early 2000s Duke in that game.
It looked old-school Syracuse, if you could count like 1946.
Stop.
I mean, Syracuse is terrible.
Right now,
let's just cut to the chase.
Not playing well.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say.
But Miami-Florida State delivered. Was it a tale of two halves? Absolutely. And Anthony Polite's going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour, the Seminole guard. But here's the deal. This game of two of the best teams in the ACC, and that is not debatable right now. These are two of the best teams in the ACC. The game delivered. Florida State wins for a ninth straight time, 61-60 against the Hurricanes.
This is no lie. I'm talking to Billy Packer yesterday, right?
Everybody always wants to know how Billy's doing.
Billy's doing great.
Yeah,
and so this is yesterday, Sunday. So somehow we eventually get onto the topic of ACC basketball.
Oh, no.
And he says, you know, Mark, I was watching the Florida State-Miami game. I said, oh, great. What'd you think? He goes, I'll tell you what, that Leonard Hamilton, he's doing a heck of a job with that Florida State team. They're well coached. His pattern of substitutions is excellent. Their kids are playing it up. He says, and Jim Larrañaga is one of the finest coaches. Da, da, da. So I'm like, well, that's great.
Good.
He said, but I tell you what, boy, did they beat Miami or what? I said, yeah, they won the game. He goes, oh, man, they just tore them up. I said, Billy, did you watch the entire game? You know, he goes, I turned it off at halftime. I said, you do know that Florida State won the game by one, and Miami missed a shot at the horn. He goes, you got to be kidding me.
Well,
I said, yeah, you missed a heck of a second half comeback. I said, they were only down 26 and had the ball with 8 seconds to go for the W. I mean, it was a tremendous game.
Well, and you got to see really why both teams have an opportunity to make some noise the rest of the way and potentially in the postseason. Because they showed you depth. They showed you their versatility. Florida State outscored Miami 43-19 in the first half. Then outscored 41-18 in the second half. You know, the Noles missed 13 of their last 20. Keep that in mind because we're going to tell you about somebody that hit their last 10 in a row before the game ended. I just think there's all sorts of little nuances about these two teams. doesn't mean that Duke's not in the mix. I think Blue Devils are clearly in the mix.
Oh, yeah, they are.
But I would take these three, Duke, Florida State, and Miami, some combination of. And by the way, we've now seen them play each other. Florida State has won both. Now, Florida State still has Duke to Cameron before the regular season's over. But we've seen the only regular season meeting between Miami and Duke, and we've seen Duke FSU once. These clearly now, I think there's a separation in the top three.
I said it last week. That's exactly what I said last week. And I think one of our questions, which I said mark the tape, is January 21st, do you think Miami will win the regular season? You said yes. I said no. Mm-hmm. I still think Duke's the best team. Now, I know the three that you just mentioned, Florida State, Miami, and Duke, and we're going to give accounting, by the way, later this show.
Coming up at 7:45.
Later this hour. Duke is 0-2. Against the two guys in front of them. Just saying. But I still think Duke's got the best team. Now, whether or not they win it, that's why we keep score, and that's why we care. But I'm with you 100%. I said it last week. Those three teams, to me, have kind of elevated themselves. I think you can start drawing a line in the sand or in the snow in this particular case and say, you know what? We're starting to see separation in the conference. Mm-hmm. And those three teams are over here. And then we've got the glob. And I think even amongst the glob, mm-hmm. we're starting to see a little separation. In fact, we have a globber tonight, right?
Oh, yeah.
Virginia Tech, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Louisville, Virginia.
Couple of things here to mention to you. First of all, in Wes's world of way out front, it is important to note that Florida State now has the full tiebreaker on Miami. Remember that.
A pair of one-point wins.
Yep. They have, at least they will have no worse than a split against Duke.
That's right.
So, why does that matter? Because if we get down to the end and we got ties, they're head-to-heads after the season series is a break. Remember, Miami has the only meeting against Duke. Miami won. That's a tiebreaker as well. So that's why I think those three teams are at the front. Here's the other issue, and I'm just going to say this as a cautionary tale going to break. It is now incumbent upon teams like Notre Dame, Wake Forest, North Carolina. These three teams have set themselves up. They're kind of up here. You got to go get those three teams. You got to go catch those three teams. You have to create enough momentum between now and Brooklyn to merit your own consideration for postseason. Because the last thing the Atlantic Coast Conference wants to do is make the committee's job easy. Oh, see those three? There we go. That's who's in the tournament. So now you got to get the other schools to go with them. And if those schools can't get there, then we're going to be left with what we're left with. It's that simple now. Because these three have shown you that they're meriting, right? They're going to be worthy of the consideration. You agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. I'm with you 100% this whole segment.
Now, Notre Dame, Wake Forest, Carolina, I'll throw Virginia in there. Louisville still wants to be on there. Go ahead. Pac's got other thoughts. But I will say this. You got to go get those three. You don't have to beat them. You just got to live in that neighborhood. You got to be on the street. Might not have the biggest house. You just got to be in the cul-de-sac.
I agree with everything you just said, Wes. I do.
Unbelievable. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, the rest of the weekend. Hat tip to the late Paul Harvey. More on Florida State, Miami. But how about the Irish? Notre Dame getting it done. What else we got going on? How about BC a little uprising? Clemson a home win. Wake a big win. Forbes. We got court storming on the parquet at the Joel. All that coming up on Packer and Durham. Packer co-signing already this morning.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Chester completely comfortable in the Roger Goodell chair on the Commissioner Phillips blanket. And, of course,
Fuller waiting on somebody?
Yeah, he's looking outside. He's making sure there's no deer, coyotes, or possum.
Okay.
Yeah, anytime there's like a little clittering noise, like a little vibration, he kind of loses it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Good to have you with us on a Monday. Calls coming up, 844-SAY-ACCN. Great guest. Jay Billis, 8 o'clock, by the way. Dane Goodwin, 9:15. son debut. Of a coach.
Debut
for Dane Goodwin? Yes, okay.
That's correct.
And Anthony Polite returns to the program at 9:30. So all that ahead, best and worst of the weekend. We'll check the women's basketball scores. We got accounting. We got all sorts of conversation. All right. If you're going to gauge most impressive team of the weekend, it was at Cameron. I mean, Duke threw haymakers. They looked the part. Everybody played well. Largest margin of victory in series history against Syracuse. They win by 20, and it wasn't that close.
Well, they had them down 30-something. By then, it was safe to walk the dogs in case you were in the mood.
Agree or not on most impressive?
They were really good. I told you before the show, I am so disappointed personally in Syracuse. This was a team I really thought will be an upper third team in the league, and they're just not playing very well, man. And again, that's stating the obvious, but when they don't shoot well, they get obliterated. I mean, obliterated. That zone is not happening, man. It's a dinosaur.
Yeah.
And when you don't have the right parts for it,
right?
They have just been just miserable on that side of the floor, and I'm not saying anything that Coach Boeheim hasn't already screamed in the media about. But Wes, they were not competitive. I thought at least they would be competitive
right.
for a while. That game was over in a hurry, and when you get down 30-something, good night.
Yeah.
Time to move on.
Well,
what else we got?
Duke assisted on 83% of their goals, so most since 2006.
Well, when you don't guard anybody, I mean, you know, it's kind of like Buffalo Bills defense with 2 minutes to go in the game. If you want to just go ahead and have a freebie, go for it.
All right, here are the gory details for the Orange. Syracuse is 9-10. It's the worst 19-game start under Jim Boeheim. 11 straight loss to an AP top 10 team. Matches the longest such streak in program history. For Duke, it's their eighth win of the year by 20 or more, all of which have been at home. First time Duke this year has had four players score 15 or more in a game. First time since really February of 20 against Carolina in the overtime game. So it all kind of gels together, if you will. Blue Devils are in that top three group we said at the top. And Syracuse is joining a list of teams where we're just kind of still searching, and we're almost to February.
Not a searching, Wes. It's almost February. I mean, I told you last week, there's a handful of teams right now that your only means to get in the NCAA tournament is to win the ACC tournament.
Right.
I'm adding Syracuse to that list. This was their opportunity to steal the game
right.
that could, number one, jumpstart the season and give you an incredible resume boost.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do, they get obliterated. I mean, just destroyed. And I'm being kind, quite frankly, because that was just not a competitive game. And so you're sub 500 after 19. There's no waiting for something to happen. This is who you are. And this is the team I've been so dead wrong about. I just thought this team had a chance given all the offensive weapons and the fact that zone, for the most part, has always given people trouble.
Yeah.
But the zone's been terrible this year, and they just are so wildly inconsistent on the offensive side. And that equals mediocrity, and that's being kind, quite frankly, at 9-10.
All right, let's go to Louisville. They retired Russ Smith's jersey at halftime. Irish weren't fazed at all. Louisville played well. Notre Dame finished in a flurry. Notre Dame finishes in a flurry and wins 82-70. They were 15-23 from three. Must have heard Hancock was in the building. Dane Goodwin, a big part of that. He and Paul Atkinson, 13 each. Prentice Hub, 12. Trey Wirtz had 9. He gets 1,000 in his college career. Only 13 free throws attempted in the ball game. They played fast, didn't they?
Well, here's the thing. You know, Louisville looks like they're all kind of standing around waiting for something to happen. They're up 7 at the half, Wes.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking, okay, you know, this could be a good, nice, quality one. This was a globber, right? These are two teams we kind of put in that middle stack who's going to make a move. But with Notre Dame, again, old, experienced, it's a Mike Bray special. They fire up threes, and when they make 65% of them, I like their chances. They were terrific in the second half.
They shot 63% from the floor for the game.
I understand that. But when you go from down 7 at the half,
right.
up 14 on the road,
mm-hmm.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame got the job done. And for Louisville, here's another globber tonight. Louisville, Virginia. Both teams coming off ugly, ugly L's, which we're going to get to the Hoos here in a second. Like I said, I believe we're starting to see separation even amongst the glob.
Right.
I mean, right now, you got to figure if you're Louisville and Virginia, again, we'll get to the Hoos in a second. Man, it's now or never. Seems that way. And now for Louisville, they've lost 4 out of 5. That's a problem. Now you go on the road. But there's something missing with Louisville. I don't know what it is, but when you watch them play, there just seems to be a missing piece to the puzzle.
Yeah, no question about that. Louisville at Virginia's Pac said. Notre Dame plays midweek. There are three games on the Monday schedule. We'll talk about as the show unfolds. Off to the parquet floor at the Joel in the Twin Cities. Felt old school, didn't it? Saturday night ACC basketball, Wake Carolina. Deeks got 70 of their 98 from three guys. Laravia finished with 31. Williams had 20. Davion Williamson had 19. Old West Durham math tells you that's 70 of 98. And, boy, Wake made this look easy, Pac.
Then Monsanto comes in. He's firing threes like, you know, just spectacular. I mean, Wake wore them out, man. What a week for North Carolina, huh? You go to Miami and get just destroyed. You go to Winston-Salem, don't play any defense.
Yeah.
And for the first time in 20 years, North Carolina suffers back-to-back losses by 20 or more points. Hadn't happened since the 2001-02 season. You know, you give up 98, I'm going to tell you give up 98, there's probably a better than 98% chance you're going to lose. You can't win games giving up 98. I thought the Deeks looked good, man.
Carolina had 25 turnovers this week that were turned into 51 points.
But, Wes, 98.
I'm with you.
Defend somebody.
Yeah.
The man with the ball, he's important. Go guard him. Yeah. Just a thought.
Deeks have won 5 of 6, 3 in a row. They have won this week at Virginia. If you go back to calendar week, a week ago Saturday at Virginia. They went in Atlanta this week and now beat Carolina on a Saturday night at home. It's their first victories in Charlottesville and Atlanta since 10-14, or 04, I should say, 10-04. And now all of a sudden they've beaten Carolina, and maybe the best piece of momentum in basketball in the ACC is in Winston-Salem.
One of them, no question. But they were so much quicker to the ball than North Carolina. Yeah. I mean, the heels just looked like they were in quicksand.
Yeah,
and that's a team that likes to play up-tempo, as you well know, and can score. But they could match Wake Forest. Yeah. Deeks were just too much for the Eagles.
Look, when you saw them in November, and I saw them in December again. I saw them twice in November. And Dan Bonner and I'll have the game Saturday night when they play Syracuse at the Dome. There was something about the Alondis Williams, Dallas Walton, Jake Laravia trio, right? Kind of fitting. And we talked about Forbes and the junior college days and the ability to evaluate and identify. And Seth Greenberg kind of mentioned that as well in one of his first visits with us. Then all of a sudden, Forbes has what he says Damari Monsanto is his best shooter on the team. Torn Achilles, right? Wasn't going to be able to play. Kid wants to come back. Put him in the lineup, and you mentioned it. I mean, he catches it over there in King and starts gunning the other night. Yeah. The next thing you know, he hit three threes, right?
Yeah, in about 35 seconds. It seemed that way.
I mean, it was a catch-and-shoot game for him.
They just look quicker the ball. You know, Wake and Steve Forbes kind of reminds me of, like, Michigan State this past year in football, where Mel Tucker had all these transfers and figured out the perfect chemistry and everything fell into place.
Right.
And that's kind of what Forbes has done at Wake Forest this year. I mean, mm-hmm. You look at their roster versus what it was a year ago, and you go, who are these guys again?
Right.
And, man, I give Forbes and his staff a ton of credit because they figured that out. And you know what? The kids have bought in. That's a new coaching staff and everything else. And the folks at Winston-Salem were just having a good time. I mean, that game got to the point where, like, this is like child's play. Let's just beat these guys silly. And they did.
And you know what happens when you beat Carolina and Winston-Salem? It's a tradition unlike any other pack.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Forbes out on the quad.
No, the quad I liked. Yeah. The quad's a tradition.
There you go.
The court storm against an unranked, seemingly helpless team. I didn't do anything for me. But this is part of the cool deal at Wake Forest right here.
And he's got the puffy quilted vest on.
I like everything about it.
All right.
I mean, that's what you
need
do.
One of those quilted vests, by the way.
I really don't.
Look at there. Look, he's wearing a hat in the middle of the students. Man of the people.
This has been going on a long time.
Yes, it has, boy.
I remember as a young kid, even when Billy Packer was a coach at Wake Forest, you'd have moments like this. Like the next day, you'd drive over to Winston-Salem and just walk through the quad just to watch the toilet paper. It looked like a giant ship's coming in. I remember that as a kid 100 years ago.
Here is Coach Forbes after the ball game about the court storming that Pack didn't like, but certainly the Deacons did on Saturday.
I understand the significance of the Tobacco Road. I mean, I'm a history guy. I have a ton of massive amount of respect for North Carolina and always will, Duke and NC State. But, you know, for the fans, yeah, I think that's awesome, you know, that they get to feel that way. I've been in a couple of those, and quite frankly, they're not a lot of fun for the coach. You know, I got claustrophobic one time at A&M when we beat Texas. So I made a quick exit tonight. Plus, I really haven't been feeling great. So that was the last thing I really needed to be a part of there, you know, at the end of the game. So, but happy for the students and the fans. I was trying to get them fired up there. I was telling the players, you know, let's give them something to cheer about. And because I believe that it's our responsibility to get the crowd going, not the crowd get us going. I've always believed in that. And so I thought our guys did a great job of that tonight. And I thought the fans did an unbelievable job of getting behind them, and the students were awesome. They were great from the get-go.
All right. Now, I have a question for you as we go to break. You got into this football thing with the Swiss, right?
Yeah.
Dave Clawson,
they've
the
always
Swiss.
Been the Swiss.
Right.
They're still the Swiss.
In basketball, they're the Swiss too?
The Swiss, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The Swiss.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I mean, North Carolina fans didn't particularly care for it, but, I mean, hey, quite frankly, you played better in that game than you did in the Miami game. I mean, if you're looking for a positive, I mean, when you get waxed twice in a week, I mean, hey, at least we didn't lose by 100. North Carolina's got Virginia Tech tonight. Both of them.
Oh, boy.
Desperate.
We'll get to that
W.
next segment.
Yeah. There's some games tonight of note.
Yeah.
Well, but Wake Forest, man, the Deacs look good. They played well.
Deacs played well. Boston College comes to the Joel Coliseum tonight. We'll talk about that coming up. In fact, we'll talk about BC coming up in the next segment. You're talking about your Clemsons. You're talking about your BCs. Captain Canada led the way for the Eagles. Oh, man. Terquavion Smith, are you serious? And then Chase Hunter starts for Brownell, and the Tigers run off from the Panthers. All that and more coming up. Half hour in on Monday's Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number, our first guest. It's coming up in about a half an hour. That'd be the one and only Jay Billis.
We got a lot to talk about with him, don't we?
Oh, yeah. A lot of stuff with Billis. We got accounting coming up in about 15 minutes, but we still have games to attend here and address from the weekend.
Which way are we going to go again here?
NC State.
NC State
back
in
the house.
Holy smokes.
How they look. You
well,
agree with that?
I mean, you're talking about Jericho Helms and Terquavion Smith. I mean, here's the thing. We have said on record on this show, I think you'll agree with me on this, stop it, that when Darion Sebron gets help, NC State's going to win. They're going to have a chance to win. Well, he got more than help. Here's Sebron. I mean, open floor dunk, good for him. He had another double-figure game.
Good player, man. I love watching
Sebron. Oh, he's outstanding. I'll tell you this, though. The young freshman, he is fearless. He will pull it from anywhere, Mark. And then, by the way, Jericho Helms threw 21 in. Smith had 20. Sebron didn't have to go get 20 and 13 with six assists, did he?
Nope.
Yeah.
State's first win against the Hoos in literally almost 13 years. Let that marinate a second. Virginia, we talked about this on Friday's show. They go stretches where they can't throw it in the ocean. And when they do, man, their defense has to be absolutely spectacular. And guess what? It wasn't.
Virginia gave up 43 in the first half.
When they give up 77, I don't like their chances ever.
No.
From that perspective, unless it's a quadruple overtime game. But yeah. The Hoos, I mean, they got the same problems, Wes, we've been talking about. And that is they're inconsistent on the offensive end. And for NC State, their first ACC home win of the year. Hadn't won one there since, what, Nebraska? The four overtime games? So it's been a while. So NC State Nation feeling good about life. The ladies get the giant win Thursday night. Validated yesterday against a big win against Virginia Tech. The men take care of business. The only thing that didn't happen was the Friday night duels, which was a bummer. Not happening Friday night, but hopefully we'll straighten that out down the road. But a good win for NC State. An important win for the Pack.
All right, let's go to Tiger Town. Clemson-Pittsburgh.
You were there.
I was. You said kind of a loser-leave-town game.
It's a loser-leave-town match.
Yeah. I mean, and quite frankly, here's the thing. Brad Brownell started Chase Hunter. Ninth career start for Hunter his first year. Just the third different lineup Clemson's used. Hunter had been playing well. And all of a sudden, Brownell put him in the lineup, and it reaped benefits right from the go. Hunter played very well. P.J. Hall got off to a hot start. Pittsburgh afflicted again. Clemson did a good job defending John Hughley at the post. He only had four shots in the first half pack. Muhammadu Gee got in a little foul trouble, and the Tigers played bombs away from the perimeter.
Making shots helps, right? That's how it works.
No question.
And Clemson blew Pitt right out of the water in this one. You mentioned Chase. It's kind of cool, a little thing. I don't know if we're going to have this or not, but Brad Brownell,
yeah,
after the game, kind of pointed him out, saying, listen, this guy, highly recruited, a lot of injuries, been yep. tough. Nothing's ever easy in life. Stick to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Said, you know what, rolled my sleeves, get to work, got an opportunity, and really played well. Kind yeah. of a cool story.
Alamir Dawes, 19, 5 of 8 from 3. P.J. Hall, 16. I mean, Clemson made it look easy against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh simplistically has to make shots. Now, you can say it. The Panthers are not a great shooting team. They've got to take good shots. And if they make them, they're going to be, like they were a week ago, trouble for Louisville. Because I think they are good enough defensively to cause some problems. Offensively is where they're challenged. And think about it now. We just talked about Virginia. If you give up 40-some in the first half, we talk about Pittsburgh. If you struggle and you don't hit shots, how many teams are we talking about that are kind of on the below-the-line average offensively right now in the ACC? That's becoming an integer that's causing some of this, I think, too.
Well, we still got a lot of games to play, but for a team like Clemson at 3-5 in the league, they're going to look back at that Boston College game and go, yeah. You win that, you're 4-4. Take your chances. Maybe you go on a run. They'd won 5 of 6 on one stretch. But, again, I think a lot of teams are going to look back and go, well, only basket here, basket there. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, Miami has got 2 losses, both by a point. I mean, how close are they being 8-0 in the league? So everybody can play the woulda, coulda, shoulda game. But for the Tigers and Pitt, I told you, I thought that was a loser leave town match, and Clemson wins going away, wins easily.
And Clemson, by the way, at Duke tomorrow night.
Probably could think of other places I'd rather play.
Really? Of course you can.
I mean, do you like their chances at Duke?
At Duke?
I don't.
I mean, going to have to play well.
Yeah.
Going to have to play as well as you played, right?
I mean, right. I mean, so, I mean, if you said, hey, Pack, they're at Boston College tomorrow, you say, well, maybe a little revenge game, but Duke, you better bring your A game.
BPI's got Duke at like 80-some percent.
Ooh.
Low. They are at Duke, Florida State at home after a week, at Georgia Tech, North Carolina at home, Duke and Clemson in their next five.
All
next
I remember,
four.
The only thing I followed you with that was Duke next game. That's
got
the only
it.
Thing.
Okay,
I
got
next
it.
Game.
All right, let's go to Comm Ave up there in Chestnut Hill.
Nice
because,
W.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you this now. I don't know what Virginia Tech was thinking, but I know what BC was thinking. Captain Canada was the guy in charge. 26 points, 9 rebounds for Karnick, and the old. Tell you what, the old Eagles make this one look easy. 68-6. It's a 5-point game, but BC had control.
Well, they were down 11, Wes, in this game. Virginia Tech's the guys that are sitting around there going, hey, you know, we just talked to Justin Mutz, who was incredibly impressive on Friday's show.
Yeah.
He had kind of a cold game. Didn't get the Packer and Durham bump as we normally get. But you know what? Virginia Tech, guys, you know what? This was one of those. This is that stretch we talked about. You got 4 and 8 days, right? You lose this game to BC. You're up 11 on the road. Don't close. So now guess what? At North Carolina coming up tonight. Then what? Florida State Wednesday? Or was it Miami? It's Carolina, Florida State, Miami, the next three.
You're talking about Virginia Tech?
Week. Yes.
Yeah,
it's this
Virginia
week.
Virginia Tech, yeah.
Right? North Carolina. I got it written down.
Yeah.
Miami, then at Florida State. That's
correct.
This week.
Yes.
That's between day and Saturday.
Yeah.
At North Carolina, Miami, at Florida State. Mm-hmm. You don't think that game at BC was important in terms of momentum? You've won a couple on the road. You're up 11 on the road against BC. That was a humongous loss, in my opinion. Humongous loss.
They lost the rebound by 8. They lost the rebound margin by 15.
Wes, this is the one team we all agreed on that, you know, when we did the standings last week, everyone on the right-hand side of the standings, when we lay it on television, is in the red, right? Everybody's under 500.
That's
and we
it.
Went, of all those teams on the right-hand side in the standings, Virginia Tech was the one that we all thought was going to be an upper third team, right?
Correct.
That you figured, hey, they've won 2 in a row. Maybe they've just found it. This is the gear. Here they go. And you look at this week with that schedule, coming off a loss to BC.
Right.
I just don't know. I mean, we're kind of late in the game now. This is no longer a early December, mid-December conversation. It's January 24th.
Yeah, well,
know who you are now.
And unfortunately, in this league, as we've said, the resume outside the conference has been written. That's not going to change. And you went 4-16 as the league against ranked non-conference opponents, okay? So while Virginia Tech has a nice St. Bonaventure win, they have a nice win here or there, the reality is you got to make all your money in the league. So when you get the Notre Dame win and the NC State road win and things like that, and I thought Brendan Marks pointed this out in the case of Carolina over the weekend, this now comes down to quad one wins. And quite frankly, you got to go find some of these. They're not easy. And in this league right now, your chances are thin. So what are you going to do? You got to go find a way to get one. And it's, and even if you get one, there are not that many teams that get in on just one quad one road win.
Exactly right. And by the way, if you're Virginia Tech, and I give you that schedule, at Carolina tonight, Miami Wednesday, at Florida State Saturday. Mm-hmm. That is a tough stretch.
But wait a second.
Anyway, of those three,
yeah,
you feel like Virginia Tech's got to win at least two of them.
Okay.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
At least two.
And I would say Miami goes to Blacksburg all the time, and it gets weird. That's all I'm going to tell you.
You got to win at least two of the three.
All right, let me tell you this, though. Here's the other aspect about this. Behind this, they're going to play 3 in 5 days. See, you go through the Miami-Florida State game. February 2nd, they host Georgia Tech. February 5th, they're at Pitt. And 2 days later, they play Pitt again.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I mean, I'm not worried about that. You know why? Because right now, Pitt and Georgia Tech are very good.
I'm just talking about the number of games.
I get that. But you're coming off a game Saturday on the road where you were up 11 in a game that you think you're going to win.
Yeah, they only scored, what, 5 points in the first 8 minutes?
My point is, you come off, you think you're on a run. Mm-hmm. Right? Justin Mutz, we talked about this with him on Friday's show. It feels like now is the moment for Virginia Tech.
Sure.
And then you go up 11, loss. And now you go at Carolina on a two-day notice, right? Two-day swing. Miami and then at Florida State?
Right.
I mean, you got to win at least two of three.
All right.
Minimum two of three.
Let's go dive into the standings real quick because we've got accounting coming up in mere moments. Here's a look at the standings. By the way, Georgia Tech beat Clayton State by 50 yesterday.
Of course they did.
Division II program is a plug-in non-conference game to replace a postponed, ultimately canceled game with Alabama A&M. Here's a look at where we are. You see the twos and threes. Again, the Notre Dame, Wake Forest, Carolina, Louisville, Virginia, I'll throw BC in there. You want to be in the mix, you got to go get Florida State, Miami, and Duke. You got to get in the neighborhood. I think it's a lot easier task for Notre Dame and Wake Forest than it is for anybody else who's following in that line. Don't you agree?
I think the seven on the right side have to win the ACC tournament.
No question. Totally agree with you. Work left to do. We're not even technically, mathematically to the halfway point of the conference schedule. But as we just pointed out, the games are going to come at a flurry because of the postponements and the makeup dates and things like that. There are some schools that are going to play 6 games in 13 days. It's just the way this is going to be as we kind of move through here. So all that being said, you've got the left side and the right side. And for the time being, that's the way you got to look at it in the ACC.
And tonight, Louisville is on the road at Virginia, and the loser of that game is 500. Loser is 5 up, 5 down.
That's it.
So that's how important that game is tonight.
Be all right if we do accounting when we come back?
I think so. I'm ready.
Okay. Accounting on the other side and packet updates, the infamous ACC index card.
Oh, yeah. Big changes at the top.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Oh, how about that? We will provide you the latest facts and filaments next on ACC Now.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, don't forget, we got big basketball for you, including State Carolina. Presented by Food Line. Wonder if Tom Smith shows up to hand out the game ball.
Get those shelves stocked.
It's Saturday, 2 o'clock Eastern, right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. Some of you will get the Tom Smith reference. Others will not.
That's right.
But
you'll figure it out.
Kind of what we do on this show.
That's right.
I mean, heck, I tweeted out a picture of Dinah Shore and Holly Farms last night. So there you go. Welcome back to the program. Everything good for you so far?
Yeah.
Feeling good about your week?
I feel, well, I don't know about that yet, but I feel good about accounting.
Yeah, do you?
I do. Sweet 16 coming your way.
I want to tell you all something about the old accounting here, and I'm going to start. So there's a change at the top. Change at the top. Florida State is now numero uno when it comes to accounting. Noles are first. Miami? Sorry, gang. Dropped one. Duke? Flat. Notre Dame? Flat. Wake? Up two. Couple of nice wins. Carolina down one. Virginia up one. Louisville down two. Syracuse flat. BC up one. Clemson up two. State up two. Virginia Tech down three. Pitt down two. Georgia Tech flat at 15. Now, what say you, Mr. Packer?
What I say is mine's very similar. Here it is, Sweet 16. I agree with you. Hey, it's all about scoreboard. I mean, I can have Miami above Florida State. The Noles are 2-0 against the Canes. How can you have Duke in front of Miami? Miami beat them. Scoreboard. Yeah. That's all how that works. I got the Irish up one, the Swiss down one, but no, it's all right. You get negative spot because you rush the court.
Yeah.
North Carolina, Virginia, Louisville, hey, you know who you are. BC gets some love with a nice win against the Hokies. Mm-hmm. The Bayheims, yeah, you don't know what's going on there. Tigers get the win. NC State gets a bump with a nice W against Virginia. Pitt's about where you deserve. Virginia Tech, I just don't know. I keep waiting on the Hokies. Just not happening. Defenders 15th, and this week, Sweet 16.
Man.
The NFL's number one seeds that both at home go L, and you therefore become the Sweet 16. There it is.
How about that?
Ours are almost identical.
That's the closest we've ever been.
I think so. When you were going through your list, I'm like, well, that looks about right. I think
we got the first eight. Are identical.
That's what I figured was in the neighborhood.
That's never happened.
No. But I do think we're seeing separation of what we consider our elite, our glob, and then the rest of them, right? Yeah. And the rest of them could be anything on any given night. I mean, based on the results tonight, you'd probably flip-flop a couple here or there. So we'll see.
It's good to see that Mark agrees with me.
I do agree with you. I agree with everything Wes just said.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, by popular demand, here it is, updated ACC index card.
Now, the infamous.
Sorry.
Get that
the
part
The infamous
right.
ACC That's... index card. Noted and beloved by many, Pack. All right, what do we got? We got a change here?
We have a little change. Look at the top.
Ooh, the Swiss.
The foul margin. Negative is good. Remember, negative is good in the foul margin.
These Georgia Tech did not play in conference play.
They stayed exactly where they need to be, right there, dead last, because that's what they're doing. But Wake in Miami, negative a 19. Duke, red 14. Pitt, BC at 12. I mean, kind of a lot of negatives there, right? Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, you start seeing some double digits. Clemson State, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech. Bunch of positives there. Got to do better in that department. That's the foul margin. Keep your hands to yourself. No tripping.
Okay.
No beating people up. Grayson Allen style. That does not work here.
Wow.
Free throw against. Wow. What do you mean, wow? Did you see that play over the weekend?
Just threw that all in there, didn't you?
At least he didn't trip the guy. All right, here we go. Free throw margin. This is the one that normally gets people stirred up. Guess what? We got a new leader at the top. A lot of changes, man.
Kane shot a lot of free throws, huh?
Plus 39 for Miami, plus 36 for Duke. Cuse, despite having a lousy year, they're in the three spot. You can just do all the math yourself. They all add up to zero here. Clemson at the very bottom.
Tiger, how you cross-check your math is everything adds to zero.
If you want
to
do a little practice there, you make sure you add all those up and you get to zero. That means you've done the math right.
Way to go.
Cheers. But there you go. State. Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Clemson. Sound familiar? You guys with negatives. Much like the foul marks.
Sound like Mrs. Watterson in the fifth grade. Wes, did you check your math?
Check
work?
Your
did
math.
You double check your math?
Double
yes, I did.
Check.
Well, why is it wrong?
So changes in accounting, changes in the infamous ACC index card, and I expect we'll have more of that, to be honest with you, on both sides.
By the way, this is coming at you fast and furious now the next couple nights. Three games tonight, a handful of games tomorrow. In fact, there are three tonight, two tomorrow night, four on Wednesday night. Quick update of the things we've been telling you. Home teams, what?
I don't mean to interrupt.
Yeah.
But I just looked at my phone, just popped up a second ago. Yeah. I got a note. You asked the other day about accounting being on the game notes.
Yeah.
Chuck Walsh from Florida State just sent me a note.
Basketball, SID, and unbelievable, supreme.
Right.
He's Chuck great. Does an unbelievable job.
He says, pack now. That will make the game notes for Georgia Tech.
Great. Yeah, and Anthony Polite, by the way, will be with us at 9:30. That may make the game notes. We'll see. But real quick, home teams through 59 ACC games are 33-26. We only had, of the seven, two games of five or less, but still 28 of the 59 ACC games played have been five or less or overtime.
Yeah, well, more woodsheds this weekend than normal.
Whew.
And we had some uglies.
I suspect with the rate of games being played in the next 2 weeks, though, remember we told you about all these like 6 and 13 days, you know, 3 and 5 day sequences, things like that. You're going to see a lot more tighter games, I think.
You know, I don't know if I can agree with you there, Wes. You know why? Because I think we're seeing separation. I mean, when half your league right now feels like the only way to get in the NCAA tournament is to win the ACC tournament, I mean, let's be honest. There have been some efforts lately where a team gets punched and they don't punch back. It's like, hey, we're going to tap out. We'll catch you later. I'm not saying they're not playing hard.
Yeah.
But there have been some scores and some games where you see the lead and just go, man, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. So you start getting that separation and people start understanding, hey, if we got it tonight, we're going to go after you. But if not, hey, we're good. We'll catch you next game. We'll see.
All right. When we come back, hour two on this Monday, Jay Billis is going to join us. We always appreciate his time. He had the Blue Devils in orange. Duke impressive without Trevor Keels. Where do Florida State and Miami kind of fit in the mix behind the Blue Devils for Jay? We will talk about that and more in a moment. Thanks for watching. Packer and Durham on ACCN.
Packer and Durham.